Sean Dunnigan, WBNS-TV in Columbus, is joining us here in studio. Dunny, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, especially after listening to The Amazing Bone Crusher.
See, man, The Amazing Bone Crusher. Yeah, I mean, he actually wrote some of the songs for the original Saw movie back in the day.
The original one?
Yeah.
The Amazing Bone Crusher.
Remakes?
Yeah, the one with
the 17.
Well, I see. He was a big part of that whole soundtrack. So,
The Amazing Bone Crusher.
You know, I mean, the Bone Crusher was big in college for us. Yeah,
the ABC. Yeah, absolutely.
That's right. Nice. See, I love what you did there. Yes, the ABC.
Is that what they called them?
Nice work, Donnie. Nice work.
Sometimes known as the alphabet.
I like that, yeah.
The beginning, yes.
Get that mixed up with Sesame Street, you're in all kinds of problems.
Yeah, and that's why I went to HBO.
Yeah, it could be. I'm telling you, man, all I get is The Amazing Bone, which apparently is some book written by somebody. I mean, he doesn't even pop up on Google.
Well, let's get into something that might be a little scarier than The Amazing Bone Crusher, and that was Ohio State's performance against Maryland last week. Very fortunate for the Buckeyes to come out on top in a game that a lot of people would tell you they probably had no business winning. Has a win in the Urban Meyer campaign felt so unrewarding?
I'm sure it has, going back to Florida and Bowling Green and Utah, but right now at Ohio State, I don't know. It's one of those things where you're watching the game, you're going, what? And this is not an Ohio State defense. It looks like they don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to tackle, and that's usually one of the first things that an Urban Meyer defense knows how to do, and that's how they get saved a lot, is their sure tackling. Just look last year and 2 years ago, and you look at the national championship year. They could tackle. They stop their motor. They get them dead in the tracks, and they just plow through. And it's like they're arm tackling again, and it's not working out.
I'll tell you what's fascinating, too, and I think this leads into my next question here. I mean, if as you watched that game last week, there's more than one correct answer to this question, but you know, what would you say were the most concerning aspects of that game? You mentioned tackling in addition to what other concerning aspects are there?
Just the entire defense. I mean, the fact that Tyrell Pigrum was 6 of 13, and in the first half he was 1 of 1 for 56 yards or something like that. They had a chance. They should have won that game with that 2-point conversion. It's just he threw a bad throw, or the receiver just didn't continue rolling with the pocket. Either way, it would have led to a 2-point conversion for Maryland. Maryland would have won the game, and it would have made this week a little more different. How they come back from that will be very interesting. What they're doing in practice, they all said, we're having a great week of practice. Well, we're a day in. And how can you not have a great week of practice so far? But I'm sure this has been drilled to them and drilled to them and drilled to them. But you also have to look at what they lost. They've lost 4 first-round cornerbacks in the last few years. 4 top 2-3-round safeties. They've lost Luke Fickell, a coach. Kerry Combs, a coach. You know, it's almost as like it's finally catching up to Urban Meyer, not just in the players, but the coaches that they're replacing. That maybe it's not the greatest when there's this much turnover.
Sure, you probably don't have the answer to this, but you've been watching them all year. How does the defense going from against Michigan State being one of the main reasons they end up winning that game, defense and special teams, to what they were against Maryland, where with minutes left in the game, they're getting beat deep on 40-yard passes.
Did you not see the score of the Michigan State game this past week with Nebraska?
Oh, I did. Yeah, I did. 9-6. How about that? 9-6.
Okay, so that is your answer right there. It wasn't really much of Ohio State's
good
defense.
Point.
It was Michigan State's offense.
Yeah. Which I think you said the other week.
Exactly. And, you know, it's the fact that Michigan State's offense showed they're not the greatest. They're not a Big Ten offense. Heck, they might not be a MAC offense. But, you know, the Ohio State defense needs to play like that against Maryland, and they completely blew it away. You saw in the first two big run plays. You know, all they did was move the tackle over. It was an unbalanced line. They ran to the unbalanced side, and they could not stop them with a one-on-one matchup in the hole.
Again, Sean Dunnigan, WBNS-TV in Columbus, joining us here in studio. And you know, there are so many different matchups, I think, that we could break down going into this weekend's game. But before we get into the matchups, let's talk about the magnitude of this game. Mm-hmm. You just don't necessarily get the feeling there are a lot of people going into this confidently thinking that Ohio State can win. Sometimes that's when they're at their best, especially under a guy like Urban Meyer, who, if he's to circle one game on the schedule every year, this is certainly the game. But, you know, to me, I watch this team play, and I think, man, oh, man, and I've been thinking this for a while, I don't see how they win this game. Then again, they've not lost this game very often the last 15 years. So if you're to break this thing down and talk about the magnitude of this game, because as far away as Ohio State seems right now in all the national polls, as you've continued to say, look, if they win this week and punch their ticket into the Big Ten championship and then beat Northwestern, it's going to be real tough to keep them out. You can say the same thing about Michigan. As high as they are Absolutely. Right now in all of these polls, if they win this week and then they beat Northwestern, I don't see how you keep them out. So
right.
using that theory, the winner of this game at least gives themselves a chance to put themselves in the conversation to be in that playoff picture. So talking about the magnitude of this game, even though Ohio State hasn't played extraordinarily well, it feels like the feel of the big game certainly hasn't gone away.
Oh, no, there's no doubt about it. And you had this feel 2 years ago with the double overtime game and Curtis Samuel, you know, doing the Titanic into the end zone for Ohio State to win that game. You know, you mentioned the record, you know, how Ohio State has been since Jim Tressel took over. They are 14-3 in this game since 2001.
Is that good?
That's kind of good. No, not if you're Michigan fans.
Yeah.
You know, but you look at this game, and I saw the most interesting stat to me yesterday that I saw was 40 times in this series the game has been settled by a single score or less. So a touchdown or less. Each team has won 20 times.
Wow.
So each team has won 20 of those 40 games. So that's just, to me, that shows how big this is just in general, just as a matchup, just as the game, the rivalry of college football. And then you bring into the magnitude, oh, yeah, it's also for the Big Ten East. Oh, yeah, it's also to possibly and probably win the Big Ten championship because not many people are going to give Northwestern any chance against either one of the two teams. And then, oh, yeah, this is also a chance to have your ticket punch to play probably Alabama in the Cotton Bowl. So there's big stuff on the line. There's huge things on the line. So huge, in fact, Caron Higdon, the Michigan running back, essentially guaranteed victory.
I saw that.
On Monday when he was asked, will you go as far as your coach did in 86, Jim Harbaugh, when he guaranteed victory, will you guarantee Michigan wins on Saturday? And Higdon hum-hawed it a little bit and said, yeah, I can go with that. Never said the words guaranteed. He was, in a way, he was baited into it. But essentially, he said, yes, he is guaranteeing Michigan wins. That's what this game means to people, is it doesn't matter what the records are. People want to win this game.
Let's break down some positional battles here.
Okay.
Because I think, look, like any other game, you're going to win, you're going to lose in the trenches. But when Ohio State has the ball, do you think that offensive line can win that battle against Michigan's defensive line? Because one of Michigan's terrific strengths throughout the course of the year has been their defense. They've got a lot of athletes up front. And in most cases, unless you have to take the Notre Dame game out of the equation here, but in most cases, they've won that battle up front.
Absolutely. And I think it all depends really on if Chase Winovich is able to play or not. He got injured against Indiana. Rashawn Gary, he's fine. He's fully healthy. Chase Winovich, according to Jim Harbaugh, x-rays came back negative. MRI scans came back negative. He says it'll be a game-time decision like all his players are on injury. He really doesn't want to talk into that much. If he plays, Ohio State's offensive line is in trouble because then they're going to have both ends attacking. I think Isaiah Prince has a decent shot at stopping Rashawn Gary on the left-hand side. But if Winovich is on the right-hand side, there's going to be a lot of trouble for Dwayne Haskins and having him stay upright and healthy the entire game and not getting any green paint on him from the turf. You can't really say grass stains anymore. That will be a big one. Devin Bush, I think the great Michigan linebacker on this team right now, I think he will be an X factor as far as coming off the edge. And when they blitz, they will blitz him. I think he will have a big game. It'll depend on, I think, the big thing for Ohio State is, can they keep all their snaps good? Can Michael Jordan, who's gotten better over the year, Can the snaps that he produces to Dwayne Haskins in the shotgun, can they be good snaps? Nothing high, nothing low, nothing left, nothing right. Can they be on the money every single snap? He did it for the most part against Maryland. That was 105 snaps plus. Can he do it again on the big stage against the big rival?
Interesting. And speaking of Haskins, I think this will be a true test for him. Only because I think Ohio State's going to have a real hard time running the ball against Michigan.
No doubt about it.
A real tough time. So essentially, that puts the game in large part on his shoulders. Mm-hmm. You think that's a test that he can pass?
I do. I think right now, I'm hearing things that maybe Justin Herbert, the quarterback from Oregon, is not coming out for the draft. He's going to stay for another year at Oregon. If Dwayne Haskins leaves Ohio State at the end of the year, which I think most people seem to think he will, and I think he will as well, you're looking at the number one quarterback off the board next year in the draft. So I think with Haskins, he needs to have a good showing. I think that he has got the receivers to do it in Paris Campbell and Terry McLaurin and Johnny Dixon. I think he's got the offensive line to protect him as much as they can. If he gets 3 or 4 seconds, he should be fine. But the moment that pocket starts collapsing, he needs to be able to move. And he showed it a lot more against Maryland than he did at all the rest of the season. I think his mobility and his ability to escape pressure will be a huge part of this game.
It's going to have to be.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. I mean, their ability to survive in this game, I feel, all stands on Haskins and his ability to create time and get that ball free.
And he showed it well against Maryland when you saw the offensive line was starting to struggle, was starting to get tired, starting to stand up because they were playing for so many plays and so, for so long. I think that's going to happen again against Michigan. It'll be a lot better defensive line. There's a reason why they're the number one pass defense in the country. Number one defense, total defense in the country. I think fourth pass defense. But nonetheless, there's a reason for that.
Sure.
Their defensive line and their defensive front seven is really good, and their back four can ball. They can play.
Let's look at the other side of the ball here. Because Ohio State's defense, as Matt mentioned 2 weeks ago against Michigan State, looked really good. And as you mentioned, we don't know if that was a product of Ohio State's defense or Michigan State's garbage offense.
I'm going to go with Michigan State's offense.
Been
right
pretty
now.
Awful throughout the course of the year. But then you look at what they did last week against Maryland. I mean, boy, Maryland just ran free on that Buckeye defense.
It was like Tim Biakabatuka came back and was running with the Maryland flag on his helmet.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting because I just don't know if what was looked at as one of the strengths of this team at the beginning of the year is still there. I mean, I just don't know that this Ohio State defensive line, as deep as it once was and as talented as it once was, is as strong as we thought it was at the start of the year.
I don't think it's the defensive line. You look at the defensive line, they're still playing well. They've gone into hiding. A lot of it has to do with losing Nick Bosa. But Chase Young, he played well up until past the Penn State game. He's disappeared a little bit. Draymond Jones has really played well throughout this entire year and played consistently. To me, it's the back seven more than the front four. The back seven, the linebackers are not good linebackers at all right now. They cannot make a tackle. It's almost like they can't make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Again, why they're playing that close to the line of scrimmage, all they're doing is just getting caught up in the wash of the trenches, and they don't have time. They don't have the reflexes to get back and go up and tackle. And then leads you to the back four and the safeties, which you have Jordan Fuller back there, who's a good player, but everybody else is still learning. You have Brendan White, who's still learning. He's a true sophomore. You have Isaiah Pryor. You have Sean Wade. It's their ability to make tackles in the clutch and tackles on their own. Just man on man. If somebody makes a move, either Caron Higdon, Chris Evans, Donovan Peoples-Jones on the outside, that's why I think a lot of the big plays and a lot of the chunks of yards you see against Ohio State are up the middle, are in between the numbers.
Sure.
They have trouble defending slant routes, inside routes. Anything to the outside, they seem to be okay with. But anything inside, those are always the big gainers.
You think they can slow down Michigan's run game?
They got a great two-headed monster in Higdon and Evans. I think they can slow it down enough to disrupt it. I don't think they'll contain it all game, but I do think they have enough to just to to make them notice that they're not having the success they wanted to. Mm-hmm. Ed Warner, who former Ohio State offensive line coach and offensive coordinator, now the offensive line coach at Michigan, has done a great job in turning this Michigan offensive line around in one season.
Mm-hmm.
He's wanting to win this game. And it's going to be a great battle.
True.
Great battle up front.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's a rivalry game, but I mean, it's huge. Jim Harbaugh hasn't beaten Ohio State. You mentioned Ed Warner and everything coming over on his end. I don't know. There's a lot of storylines, I guess, for this one. But Michigan seems hungry.
They seem hungry. Ohio State seems hungry. You know, they're really too keen on that guarantee of victory. They're already sick of "It's Time for War" by LL Cool J playing in the Woody, because that's the only song they listen to for this entire week. Is it started when they got back on Sunday? It was all playing through yesterday in the Woody, except for when Urban Meyer was having his press conference, and it was played right afterwards. And it's playing all week. It's that same song on a loop. They want this game. It's time for war for the Buckeyes, and they want to get it done.
Pick out three difference makers for Ohio State. Doesn't have to be one on each unit. Doesn't have to be two on one unit, one on another. Pick out three difference makers for the Buckeyes who have to play well on Saturday if they're going to pull off what should be considered at least a little bit of an upset.
I think number one is Paris Campbell for the Buckeyes at wide receiver. He kind of disappeared against Maryland. He needs to have come back with a strong game. Dwayne Haskins needs to find him and give him the ball, whether it be on jet sweeps, whether it be on inside, on bubble screens, whether it be on slant routes. Just get him the ball. Let him be who he is, the playmaker. For lack of better words, or just a running back group for Ohio State with Mike Weber and J.K. Dobbins. Mike Weber's back. He will be playing. How will they be able to get past that front seven of Michigan and into the second level of the Wolverines defense? And on the defense, I would say, you know, Tough Borland. How does he step up? This will be his second game against Michigan. How will he be able to bring the entire defense together and make them play well? It'll be very interesting how he does. I think the linebackers go in this game.
Going to be fascinating. And in the future here, I mean, we're not going to talk about it now, but we've got to get into the future of Urban Meyer. Because, boy, he did not look healthy on the sidelines at all last week. And I know he's going through some issues health-wise, and he's been battling those demons for a while now. So you kind of wonder if the result of this game may dictate some of that. You know, he hides that stuff pretty well.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah, and he
has
did not
questions
Saturday.
On it.
Yeah.
He's answered questions on it this year as well, not just in his press conferences, but also to a couple groups of media members just to get this story out there. And I think a lot of that had to do with recruiting. He says he already said he'll be back next year. Whether or not that's going to be true, I don't know if this game decides that. I think it will play a factor in it. I also didn't really find it necessary to show Urban Meyer after every single play, it seemed like, against,
sure.
You know, I thought ESPN kind of drummed that up themselves. But no, it was true. You saw him bent over on his, you know, hands on his knees, just not looking good, looking healthy. Something is going on. He has a cyst. We all know about the cyst. I don't know if there's anything more than that. Or if that cyst is a lot worse than I think people that is being made to believe it is.
Yeah. You mentioned how much it was shown. I mean, it's kind of cringeworthy. You're sitting and watching.
Oh,
you're like, oh,
no,
God, I hope this guy's all right. I mean,
and that's why I thought it was a little bit too much of how much
sure.
it was being shown.
Well, they kept going back and showing it again. That's where it kind of bugs me. But
exactly.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, it was borderline uncomfortable. No question about that. Donnie, this is awesome, man. Thank you so much for stopping in studio.
Absolutely.
Happy Thanksgiving to you
Same
and yours.
Same to you guys as well.
Thank you.
Oh, I forgot one major X factor, especially for your listening audience, DeMario McCall. How well he plays. He's already been said he's going to be the kickoff returner for this game. He had a great return. He put the Buckeyes in position to tie that game and make that game go into overtime against Maryland with his 42-yard kickoff return down to the 50. If he pops another couple like that, the Buckeyes have a really good shot because of how he plays in special teams.
Certainly. We'd like to see that from the former North Ridgeville Ranger.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No doubt about it. Well, I won't talk to you next week, but Matt Douglas will.
Yeah, I'll be
around. Sounds good. So we'll either be talking about the Big Ten Championship
or
Buckeye basketball.
Yeah, or maybe a little hockey. We'll throw
hey,
that in.
We
were doing
like
that before.
There you go.